Turn to James chapter 4. We'll be looking at verse 17. For the benefit of those who are visiting, we have been doing a study on Sunday evening from the book of James. And as we continue our study in James chapter 4, we're going to see that James reveals some problems that Christians were facing in regard to sin. And so that's what we want to look at here, and note what James says. In James 4:17, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he records, "Therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." We understand sin, that sin has consequences. Sin separates us from God, according to Isaiah 59:1-2. And when we think of sin, we sometimes think of the word of transgressing the law. Sin literally means to miss the mark. In 1 John 3:4, the scriptures state, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." And we realize that things such as adultery and lying and stealing are things we should not be involved with in regard to sin. But James is addressing something different in regard to the category of sins he's speaking of. Now, sin is sin, and sin separates us from God. But sin, James is actually addressing sins of omission. And these sins, if we're not careful, and probably that's why he's addressing this to the brethren there, maybe these sins are viewed by us as second-rate sins. In other words, not as bad as adultery or stealing or something of that nature, but these sins would include things such as neglecting to fail to study to show ourselves approved, neglecting to fail to pray without ceasing, neglecting to fail to teach the lost, neglecting to fail to visit those who are sick. Basically, these are some things that we just at times leave undone. We know they're good things to do, but we leave them undone. And what James is saying is, don't think just because you're not an adulterer or an idolater or a murderer or a thief that the sin you commit when you leave something undone isn't going to separate you from God. And so that's what he is addressing. James is addressing sins of omission. So these are oftentimes things that we just leave undone, and we have to guard our thinking. And I think that's what James is trying to get the brethren to consider, to guard our thinking, that we don't begin to neglect the things that we know that are good and we know that they're right to do, but we just begin to neglect doing it. And when we, and what we tend to do is we don't think about those as much. We just think about the sins of commission. As long as I'm not committing adultery, idolatry, theft, all those things, then I'm okay. So sin is sin in the eyes of God, and both will condemn us and both will cause us to lose our souls. So the purpose of our study this evening is to come to a better understanding of the sins of omission, the sins that James is addressing here in the text. So let's open our Bibles and listen to what the scriptures say about this important subject. So if you would, open your Bible, follow along. Sins of omission, knowing to do good. We might tend to view sins of omission, as we've said, as something that's not as serious as other sins. But in actuality, if you think about it, if we know what is good to do, and then we refuse to do it, then in some ways that's worse than the other sins. So we need to have the proper understanding of the will of God and what he would have us to do. The first thing we have to ask is, do we know what the will of the Lord is in regard to a subject or in regard to a matter? The only way we can do that is to open the scripture and know what the Lord has to say. Turn over to Luke, the 12th chapter. Luke chapter 12. And let's look there at verses 47 through 48. Luke 12, verse 47 through 48. And here it says, "And the servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes." So there's a servant, and there's a servant who knows what his master's will is, but he refuses to do it. See, that shows a rebellious attitude. "I know what your will is, Lord, but I'm going to refuse to do it." Says, "But he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required, and to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask more." So we, as the people of God, as Christians, as children of God, we have a great responsibility to fulfill, because we know what the will of the Lord is. We know what the will of the master is. So if we refuse to do that, what did Jesus say? Many stripes. Many stripes. We get an idea of how God views us just knowing what we should do and failing to do it. So we have to ask the question. If we say, well, do we know the will of the Lord? We might say, yes. Sure, I know the will of the Lord. The next question is, are we doing it? Well, I'm not sure about that. See, that's where we need to be careful. Are we doing the will of the Lord? Turn to John, the 13th chapter. John chapter 13, we've been in our Bible study discussing where Jesus washed the disciples' feet. And he teaches his disciples a lesson about humility. And with knowing something comes the responsibility of doing that. And that's what Jesus did with his disciples. He taught them the lesson of what it really meant to serve, that you had to have humility. And then he told them that's what they needed to do. Go to John chapter 13 and let's read verses 12 through 17. "So when he had washed their feet, taken his garment, and sat down again, he said to them, 'Do you know what I've done to you?'" This is after he's washed their feet. He says, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you know them." No. "Blessed are you if you do them." See, it's one thing to know what the will of the Lord is. And there's a blessing in knowing what the will of the Lord is. But to be truly blessed by the Lord, when we know what His will is, we have to do it. We have to be willing to submit to it. We have to be willing to obey it. We have to be willing to do it. So Jesus is teaching His disciples this lesson about humility. And He says, it's not enough for you just to know that you need to display humility. You actually have to do it. In other words, we know we need to be humble, but we actually have to do that. We actually have to do that. And so that's the point that Jesus is emphatically trying to get across to his disciples. And the problem that we face today is the very same problem that they had, is that we can become complacent with our knowledge. We think knowledge is the end all and be all, and knowledge is important. But practicing what we know and doing that which is the will of the Lord is more equally important. Equally important. Really more important, because if we know we don't do it, we're going to be condemned. We have to have the right type of attitude. And we need to realize that with knowledge comes the responsibility of doing something. With the knowledge comes that responsibility. Turn over in your Bibles to Matthew, the 19th chapter. Matthew chapter 19. And let's look at verse 16 through 21. Note the young man here asks a question for the ages. In In Matthew 19, beginning in verse 16, it says, "Now behold, one came and said to him, 'Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?'" So he asked a question here. And so he said to him, Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." And he said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbors yourself." And what was the young man's reply? The young man said to him, "All these things I have kept from my youth." In other words, these sins of commission, he had not committed those sins. But notice what he even admits in his question to Jesus. He says, "What do I still lack? What do I still lack? What have I left out? What have I omitted? What have I omitted?" And Jesus tells him, and Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." See, what had he omitted? Not the sins of commission. He had not ever committed those things. But what had he omitted? He had omitted, the only thing left to do was to follow Jesus. And he wasn't willing to do that. He wasn't willing to pay that price. He wasn't willing to make that sacrifice. And what about you and me? What do we lack? He asked the question. At least he was honest enough to ask the question, "What do I lack?" And Jesus told him. We need to ask the question, "What do we lack? Lord, is there anything that I'm omitting?" Because see, to know to do good and do it not, sin, and sin separates us from God. So this is indeed an important matter. Now, we might not be involved in any of the list of the sins here that Jesus talked about, murder, adultery, stealing, false witness, all those things. We might not be involved in any of those either. But are we omitting something? Are we leaving things undone that we know that we should do? Go over to Matthew, the 7th chapter, Matthew chapter 7, and note there in verses 21 through 23. Well, we might ask the question, well, how do we know what is good? Well, what's good is what's authorized, what's given to us in the Scripture, what is made known to us as the will of God. And Jesus says in Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to him in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" In other words, you're practicing things for which you do not have authority. You need to submit to my will. So for something to be good, because if we know something to be good and we don't do it, it's sin, but we identify things that are good by the Scriptures, then they have to be authorized. I know y'all are studying authority Wednesday night. It has to be authorized in order for it to be good in the eyes of God. We have to have authority. In other words, go back to Nadab and Abihu. You can't offer strange fire. Why? Wasn't authorized. Sounds like maybe it would have been a good thing, but it wasn't good in the eyes of God because it was not authorized. It was not according to his will. Well, let's continue to look at this discussion about the sins of omission, and we want to look at some illustrations. We want to look in the Scriptures where we can see that this took place. And I think the judgment parables are a good place for us to go to. So turn in your Bible over to Matthew chapter 25, and we're going to look at some of the judgment parables, because in all of the judgment parables, there were things that were left undone, things that they should have done, but they left those things undone. Go to Matthew 25, begin reading with me in verse 1. "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. And those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wives took oil in their vessel with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding. The door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say unto you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." Now, when we look at this example of the foolish virgins, what was their problem? They'd left something undone, hadn't they? They needed to be prepared. They needed to have enough oil, but they'd left that undone. And what happened as, what was the end result of their neglect? The door was shut. The door was shut because they were not prepared. They had left things undone. Let's look in Matthew 25 at verses 24 through 28. And we can note that the sin of neglect can also cause us to lose our soul. Here we have the parable of the talents. We talked about that a little bit this morning. There was one with five, there was one with two, and one who had one. Why was the one talent man viewed as wicked and condemned? Was it because he just had one talent? No, that was not the reason. Let's look and see what the scriptures state there. It says, "Then he who had received the one talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours.' But his Lord answered and said, 'You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would receive back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents.'" Why was the one talent man viewed as wicked and condemned? It's because he'd left things undone. He had the ability to do something with that one talent he was given, but he left things undone. He didn't do anything. He refused to use the ability that he had to serve the Lord. What about us? What about us? Do we neglect to use the ability that we have to serve the Lord? Do we have the ability to teach, but we never do? We're leaving something undone. Do we have the ability to visit or call or encourage someone, exhort someone, like we talked about this morning, but we never do? Do we have the ability to extend hospitality, but we never do? See, these things are things that we need to be very careful about, because we can be guilty of doing the same things, not being prepared, because there are things we're leaving undone. There are things that we are omitting in our life. Look in Matthew, the 25th chapter, and look at verses 41 through 46. It says, "Then he will say to those on the left hand, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for his devil and his angels.'" Well, why are these departing? What had they done? What awful thing had they done? Had they murdered people? Had they committed adultery? What awful thing had they done? It says, "For I was a hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?" And then he will answer them, saying, "Assuredly I say unto you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." Other words, they left it undone. They omitted it. It says, "And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Why did those on the left perish? They stood in condemnation simply from the fact they had left things undone. There were good things they should have done, and they left those things undone. We need to live our lives in such a way that we have no regrets. That's the way we need to live our lives, and to realize that we fulfilled our duty and our service to the Lord. Go over to Luke, the 10th chapter. Luke, the 10th chapter, and look at verses, beginning in verse 25 there. Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 25, says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, What is written in the law? What is your reading? And so he answered, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he answered, and he said to him, You have answered rightly. Do this and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Then Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among the thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and set him on his own animal, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, Take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, He who showed mercy on him. And Jesus said to him, Go and do likewise. Now let me ask you a question. Did the priest and the Levite know what the good thing to do was in this situation? Did they know it was a good thing to show compassion and mercy? Yes, they did. What did they do? They just left it undone. And sometimes, I don't know what the reason was. Maybe they were in a rush. Maybe they didn't think they had the time. Maybe that's our reasons too. We leave things undone. We think we're so busy, we don't have the time for certain things. So they knew. They knew what the law, what was instructed in the law, was to have mercy and to have compassion. But they left it undone. And we need to compare our lives as a Christian and see if there are things that we are leaving undone. What are we neglecting to do? We should desire to do the will of the Lord. Hopefully, we do not neglect to do it. Remember, the scriptures use that word that we can neglect this great salvation. It's granted to us, but we can neglect it. We can neglect it. So we need to be very careful in regard to that. Turn back over to Matthew, the 7th chapter, there in verses 24 through 27. And Jesus says, Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, liken him to a wise man, built his house upon a rock, rains descended, floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell not because it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them. We hear it. We have knowledge. We know what we should do. We don't do it. It says we're like a foolish man. Built our house on the sand. The rains descended. The floods came. And the winds blew and beat that house. And it fell. And great was the fall of it. We don't need to be like the foolish builders. We need to be like the wise builders. And that's what James is trying to, the point he's trying to get across to the brethren. Well, also in regard to the sins of omission, knowing good and doing it. We know if we know good and we don't do it, it's sin. But as a Christian, I should know good and I should do it. I should do those things that are good. Go over to Matthew 7 and look at verse 17. Jesus says, even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. I have to ask the question, as a Christian, am I bearing fruit? And the answer is yes, we are, but it can either be good fruit or it can be bad fruit. But what type of fruit are we bearing? I need to bear good fruit, and I need to bear that fruit throughout my life. I need to bear that type of fruit throughout my life. And I need to realize that that's not something it's not like retirement, that, you know, I can retire from a job. I can't retire from serving the Lord. You can't retire from serving the Lord. And really, what God does, he warns us about even having that type of attitude in Galatians, the sixth chapter, in verses 9 and 10. He says, and let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. We can't grow weary in well-doing. If I know something that's good to do, I need to continue trying to do that. As long as God gives me the good health and the soundness of mind to be able to do that, I need to continue to strive to do those things. As we get older in life, some of the things that we do might be more difficult for us than they were at one time. But what do? We do what we have the ability to do. We serve to the ability that God gives us at any point in our life in regard to our health. If I want to know good and do it, then I'm going to have to know what Jesus would have me do and to show the proper love for him. It's easy to say, Lord, I love you. Jesus, I love you. But how do we actually show that we love him? By obeying his commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Don't neglect them. Do not leave them undone. In 1 Thessalonians 5, in verse 21, Paul tells the brethren there at Thessalonica to test all things, to hold fast that which is good. In other words, prove it. How do we prove that something's good? By the Scripture. By the Scripture. Once I know something is good and proven to be so by the Word of God, then I need to hold fast to it. Why is it important to not only know what is good, but to do it? Because there's a reward that's waiting in heaven. Our eternal destiny depends on what we do with what we know. If I know what's good and I do it, then there's the eternal reward of heaven. Turn to Revelation 22. Revelation 22. And look there at verse 14. Blessed are those who do his commandments. Now, it didn't say, blessed are those who know his commandments. We have to know them. But blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. See, it's important because only those who know to do good and actually do it will be rewarded, will be blessed with eternal life. We'll get to enter the heavenly Jerusalem. We'll get to enter the city of God that we talked about this morning in James 14. The place that's prepared for those who were prepared to serve the Lord while they were here on earth. See, we need to realize that sin is a big problem in our life. And sin definitely separates us from God. We can't have fellowship with God living in sin. But we need to realize the gospel, the good news, we don't have to die in our sin. Salvation is possible. So don't neglect the great salvation that's been provided for us. Know what's good to do and then do that. Practice that in your life. If you know what is good, then as the commercial they have for the the shoes. If you know what is good, then just do it. You know what's good according to God? Then do that. Do that. Obey what the Lord has to say, because Jesus is the author of eternal salvation to all. That's the way the world wants to hear that. But it says, Jesus is the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Who obey him. Who know what is the good thing to do and are willing to do it. We're going to sing a song of invitation to encourage you. If you've allowed some of these sins of omission to creep into your life as a child of God, you need to take care of them. You need to repent of it. If you need the prayers of the brethren, we will stand ready to aid you or assist you in regard to that matter. But we do not need to omit what we know is good to do. And the best thing that you can do is, if you're not a Christian, is to become one. That's a good thing. Being a Christian, being a child of God, that's a good thing. Don't know that you could have become a Christian and you failed to do that. You have the opportunity to respond. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you're willing to repent of your sins and confess your faith in Jesus Christ, that you believe he is the Son of God, and willing to be baptized into Christ so your sins can be forgiven, so your sins can be washed away, so the blood of Jesus can be applied to your life, and that you can be raised to walk in newness of life. If there's any way that we can aid you or assist you in rendering obedience to the gospel, rendering obedience to the good news, make that need known while we stand and while we sing.